Thank you for hanging out with me late or early, for those of you early risers. I'm sitting in for George Norrie this evening. My name is Dave Schrader, and I'm the host of Darkness Radio. You can find more information about me and my work at darknessradio.com. Let's go back to the phone lines. International caller line, Susan in Saskatchewan. Welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. What do you want to talk about tonight?
Okay. There's something that I have never told anybody about. I spent my summers on a farm not far from here, and I'm in the middle of nowhere, Saskatchewan.
Okay.
But so I kind of grew up in a place where they just took unusual happenings as normal.
Okay.
So one night, and I also grew up knowing that our animals come first. So we had gone on a long ride, and I was sitting outside with the horses, making sure everybody had a drink and something to eat before I let them go. And I was looking up in the sky, and there were 5 stars that were brighter than normal. And suddenly they all started moving in unison. They were all moving together. And I, honestly, I got scared and I ran because I didn't understand what was going on.
Could you hear anything, or was it just the lights moving?
It was just the lights moving. It was very quiet.
All right. And, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
After that, I started seeing unusual things. I would go for rides at night by myself, and there would be bright lights coming down the road with no vehicle behind them. And I would see similar things when I went back home in the summertime. And I never understood it, and I've never told anybody about this.
Do you think that you have been visited, or do you think this was a one-time occurrence?
I think there have been other visitors.
Mm-hmm.
I do. But I've never understood this.
Yeah, I mean, why? Why do they make these visitations? What are they hoping to get from us? Is it nothing more than studying us and our adaptability and understanding us? Are we an experiment in a giant petri dish that they set forth from a different part of the galaxy? Or are they trying to save their race, as some people think, by bonding our DNA with them, creating human alien hybrids? I guess, you know, the answer is still out there, and that's one of the great mysteries of what is going on. It's so bizarre. Now, do you think that you've ever been abducted, or do you think you've just witnessed?
I don't think I have been abducted, but I wonder. I grew up with this wonderful mom. Christian lady, totally Christian, and yet she had no problem teaching us about aliens and UFOs, and there were people out there. So something happened to her.
And something happened to her in what sense?
She was just, it was just like, it was something just that, and she never talked about it, and she can't anymore, but it was just this belief in her was as deep in her as her belief in God. And to her, it was just fine.
Well, Susan, thank you. Thank you for calling and sharing your story. It sounds very personal. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Charles in Los Angeles, you're up next on Coast to Coast AM. Good evening. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host for the evening. My name is Dave Schrader. And tonight we're taking phone calls on open lines, talking about UFOs, alien intervention, interference. What are your thoughts? Let's hear from Wildcard One, Charles in Los Angeles. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Dave. It's a spiritual mission, but it has nothing to do with Roswell and all that stuff. The Galactic Federation came in here in 1996 to start helping us make the spiritual changes. This is the seventh complete civilization we've had on planet Earth, and man's destroyed himself six times in the past. This is supposed to be the last, the cleanup. And there's a, according to what we've been told, there's about a trillion ships up there, actually, from the Pleiades, from Sirius B, from Lyra, from Arcturus, from Andromeda, from Agartha, and maybe some other places. And actually, Jesus of Nazareth was from Sirius B, and so was a friend of mine. And he's been taken years ago to many, many other, I think all these planets I mentioned, he's been to all of them.
Your friend?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And how do you know that he's been to these?
Well, we've had six or seven classes with him. He's a personal friend.
Okay. But, I mean, has he been able to show you any proof? Has he shown you...
Oh, yeah.
Photographs,
he's shown
the craft.
Sketches and some pictures and diagrams and told us all kinds of things going on. He gets a couple pages from Sirius B every Saturday, and he puts it on the Internet or has a telephone hookup from time to time. So, yeah, I've been a student of metaphysics since 1948. My mother made her ascension in 1989. That's why we're here. That's why we come into embodiment in the first place. And I've had four discs rebuilt spiritually in my spine. So I've had a lot of experiences. And they come in groups where they're people that have been studying metaphysics usually. But anyway, the last one was rather interesting. That I attended a large meeting, was here in Los Angeles area, and we had communication with Mashaba, with Hatan, with Jesus of Nazareth. By the way, his spiritual name is Sananda. And and years ago, when they asked him where he was from, he always pointed up to the Sirius star system. Whether they understood that, I don't know, but... But anyway, we had about 75 people there that day. It's been a few months ago now. And it was raining all over Los Angeles, except where we were. There was 3.5 acres. And they put a large spaceship over the area where we were. And we didn't get a drop of rain the whole day. When I left about 7:20 that night, went a block or two away, I was in the rain. Otherwise, we'd have been tripping in some mud because there was a lot of dirt. It's a beautiful place, but there was a lot of dirt.
Well, Charles, do you actually get to see anything? I mean, you know, just having a teacher that tells you that they've been there and has sketchbooks. I mean, I have some friends that are amazing artists, and they draw alien landscapes all the time and are great storytellers and could probably craft something very realistic and believable, but... You know, there's a difference between a story and a reality. What have you seen that would lead you to believe that there is something?
Well, I've been in classes where they've talked to us. I've actually, in November of 2008, there were three ships over my place.
Okay, but you said that they've talked to you. Who is they? Who talked to you?
The commander of the entire Galactic Federation fleet, three different times. I've had five classes where Jesus has spoken with us. Hatan, Mashaba. I've had two classes where Saint Germain, the Ascended Master, has spoken with us for about an hour and a half each time. And things that have happened over the years. November 2008, I parked my car across the street. I'd been shopping, and I got out, and I saw three ships right above my place. And I waved to them, and I yelled, "Help!" And I came in... put my things down and looked up to hopefully continue some sort of a communication. They'd gone. They're monitoring. They have everything monitored. All the weapons of mass destruction all over the planet are monitored, and They will be showing themselves pretty soon. This is tied in with the announcement of the Second Coming, and the first wave will be about 10,000 ships that land.
So do you believe, then, that the Second Coming is an alien armada coming here, and that Jesus Christ is an alien, not Son of God?
We're all sons of God. Jesus told us that in the Bible. He said, ye are gods. He said, all these things I do shall ye do also, and greater things.
But do you believe that he's an alien from another planet as opposed to...
Well, I am too. Almost everybody that has any horse sense on the planet is from another planet. I'm from Uranus, I've been told, years ago in the 60s. And we're all...
Well, were you actually born there? I mean, you know, it's. I can say I'm Scottish because my family comes from Scotland, but I was born in Illinois, so I'm United States born and bred. That doesn't make me Scottish because of that.
I'm not talking about the last time around. I'm talking about a long, 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 long time ago. We're all from other planets if we have any horse sense, unless you're a first-time a soul, you know, just incarnating. That's what the incarnation's for. We keep coming back until we make the change, but they're going to help us go into the fifth dimension pretty soon, and it shouldn't be too long. I suspect it'll start this year, because since 9/11, about 20 million ETs and others with from the United States and other places have been working secretly in 130 countries to make this happen. So it won't be too much longer.
Well, you know, every generation has said that before us, that the next generation is it, that they were coming up to the end times. Why do you believe so specifically this is it?
Well, this is the Aquarian age we're in. You know, the end of the Mayan calendar, that was the beginning of the Aquarian age, not the end of anything. It was just an end of an era. Or the Piscean age, this is the Aquarian age, which is the water age. Water is the sign of purification.
What are you doing to prep for it?
What am I decree all the time. I'm ready for them.
Okay. Well, what will happen when they come? I mean, is this, you know, there was those gentlemen that group that thought that there was an alien craft in the tail of the Hale-Bopp comet, and they got together and wore matching jumpsuits and drank some poison Kool-Aid together and thought that their souls were going to be reclaimed and go up. Is there preparation that's being done in your group for that type of transcendence?
This
or
is a spiritual mission. It has nothing to do with drugs and chemicals. As a matter of fact,
what I'm asking.
Our brothers and sisters up there, I don't call them aliens. They're extraterrestrials. They're just from other planets here to help us. As a matter of fact, the ones from Andromeda are not in our galaxy. They're here to help us as well. And there is a mothership up there between us and the sun from the Pleiades, a very large ship. And if anything drastic happens, they're here to pull us off the planet. But they're trying to help us make this spiritual change. That's the purpose that they're here for. It has nothing to do with fooling around. As a matter of fact, when they came in here in 1996, they ordered the little grays to stop doing abductions. They were ordered to stop. The grays had no permission from the Galactic Federation to make any agreement or contract with any country here on planet Earth. None whatsoever.
That doesn't seem to have stopped them. There's still claims of the miniature grays doing that.
Well,
what's going on?
Yeah, but our government still has some of them in captivity, and they do that. We've had our own spaceship since 1960, according to John Lear and a couple others.
All right. Thank you very much for weighing in. Let's go west of the Rockies before our break. Sharon, Hawaii, welcome to the show.
Yes, aloha. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
I was calling in for a couple of reasons. One of them was today there was a special ceremony here on the island of Hawaii. Some people also call it the Big Island, in the district of Puna in Kamapala. And that's like at the very end where, you know, there was a 1983 lava flow, and they had a purification today and a clearing with an 80-foot diameter landing pad with about 200 to 300 people there. And it was really a beautiful event. They had the official restated Hawaiian Kingdom, signed a declaration May 28th, noting that the native legend has it that the constellation of the Pleiades, the Seven Sisters, is the place from which the first Hawaiian people came to the earth. The declaration claiming the new lava land for the kingdom and inviting the star visitors to the land and establishing a diplomatic relationship, a peaceful relationships. And it was a beautiful event that happened. That was one of the reasons I was calling.
Did anything extraterrestrial happen at all, Cher? Did you guys see anything? Was there any contact made at all?
No, this was in the warm, warm, sunny day today, a beautiful day with beautiful breezes here. But because it's in an area that we're off-grid, I'm total off-grid, so we have, you know, it's really lovely to be looking at the skies in these areas. You get to see a lot going on. So there's always movement here. I guess that's why George Nordic likes the Big Island. The other reason I was calling is my husband, Roger Christie, who's been held as a political prisoner here on Oahu, has been writing a book for the last few years about the Anunnaki and about where cannabis came from, you know, how it came to the earth. And there's, you know, a real connection with feeding the brain with this good food. And so he's finishing up as he's been held without bail 8 times as a danger to the community, which is quite the joke. He's a beautiful minister here. And actually in the spot that we did the ceremony today, the day before we were raided 4 years ago, he was actually doing a wedding on the lava flow for a beautiful group there. So he's finishing up his book. One of your special people that have come on to the show was one of the speakers there, Michael Sala, who's written some books on the ETs, and he's a specialist in this field. So it was a very eventful day, and I love the connections with the Hawaiians. I love the connections here that we have this beautiful spot on this 500 acres of new land that's been reclaimed by Pele, the lava flow that happens here. And, keep attention on what's going on for here. We're looking forward to cannabis movement. And I also want to send a prayer out to all the prisoners of war of here in the United States. There's over 50 prisoners for life for using cannabis. So there goes people that have been murderers, that get out on parole, rapists, but still people that have done this nonviolent crime.
And they're still wailing away, right? I understand. Thank you for calling in and sharing with us, Cher. We've got Hugh, James, Cameron, and Craig coming up next. Open phone lines here on Coast to Coast AM. Thank you for staying up a little late with me and talking about aliens, UFOs, the connection, what's going on out there. Hey, I want to thank all of the callers that have called in to share with us. You know, it's funny, I try to read the emails during the breaks here as people send in questions or comments and bring up points and some fascinating points. A couple of people very upset that I'm not able to help some of the people that are calling in asking for help. I'm a radio show host. I can listen to your story. I don't have a unyielding reference guide to send you to Klaatu and get some help from him or, you know, Sector 7 of whatever galaxy I should be sending you off to. All I can do is listen and give you a chance to open up in this forum and share your story. And when I find points interesting, we'll talk about it. And when I've heard your story and there's not much left to do, that's all we can really do on the show. So I thank you for calling in and sharing. And I hope nobody feels I've slighted them in our conversation this evening. It's been fascinating to hear from everybody. Let's go back to the phone lines east of the Rockies. We've got Craig in Sarasota, Florida. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, that's fantastic. Hey, have you ever got anybody say you sound like George?
Like George Norrie?
just the voice and everything. It's fantastic. I thought I was listening to George, but you're phenomenal, Dave. I listen every day. I had a quick story for you, if that's okay.
Sure. Let me say thank you, first of all, for the compliment. George has got a great voice. I'll take that. What did you want to share with me?
Absolutely. No problem. Well, back in 1999, I'd gotten in I used to race motorcycles, and I was about 20 years old, and I got in a motorcycle accident, hit my head, went unconscious for about an hour, I guess paramedics say. And I went into, I promise you, it was almost like a spaceship. When I was unconscious, it wasn't like a light or anything. I was in a room, and there were three beings there. I don't know if you call them grays or what. They're kind of almost human form, almost alien in origin in my brain. And one of them, I remember one of their names. He kept saying, "My name is Tosha. My name is Tosha." It was like a South African accent. And he kept saying, "I am your superior." And I was like, and they had me strapped down. And the other one was named, he kept saying, Rick. And the other one was Jacka. It was the weirdest. And that's all I remember. I woke up and I just remember those faces and I'll never forget it. And it was scary, but I'm here. I'm better. And I don't think the aliens are coming, but if they are, our troops will protect us. I'll tell you that.
Well, we can only hope so. Thank you for calling in and listening this evening. Let's go to Wild Card Line 2. Hugh in Grants Pass, Oregon. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. What did you want to share with us this evening?
Oh, gosh, too much, Dave. I've called in and talked to George before. I was operated on by aliens. I don't think they're aliens. I've never seen a UFO, but they're reptilians. I've had contact with reptilians 6 times in my life since the early 60s.
Well, you don't believe they're aliens, so what does that mean? Do you believe that they are terrestrial in origin and just hiding amongst us?
I was listening to your guest from New York. I'm a publisher from New York myself. I became a Tribune publisher and became affiliated with Music and ASCAP and BMI back real early in the 60s when I was a young man. I grew up with people like Mitch Ryder, and I knew Elvis Presley's publisher, and in Tennessee, I knew Dolly Parton's father. And I go way back in music, probably before you were born, Dave. I have your guest tonight. He's a historian, and he's going to know who I am if he really knows history. Kennedy was on Stemhole Drive when he was murdered, and he was going to talk to Tribune Publishers. I'm a Tribune publisher. Kennedy, people don't put it together, but Kennedy was going to talk at the Trade Center. And then 25, 30 years later, you had the Trade Center blown up, Building 7 blown up. And people don't put that together with Kennedy, but it's all together. And the reason I had alien contact is because they saved my life after mafia hits at my home, on my farm, after I stopped a $25 million a day gun and drug trade. Three or 4,000 people ended up dead. No one's ever interviewed me. LBJ was calling my family's home 5 minutes after he was sworn in on Air Force One, when he was standing next to Mrs. Kennedy, and she still had Mr. Kennedy's blood on her blouse. And not a soul ever interviewed my family. And you've had thousands of books in the Warren Commission, and it's just funny. I grew up in Warren, and Warren was my grandfather's farm. And then I went from that incident to Jimmy Hoffa. One of my family members was with Jimmy Hoffa, and then the FBI arrested me the next day, or detained me. I shouldn't say arrested me. They didn't hold me. They detained me. And they thought that I had knowledge of where Jimmy Hoffa went. And I probably do, but nobody's ever interviewed me. I doubt anyone ever will. And
well, you're on Coast to Coast AM with listeners all around the world and over 500 radio stations. Let me ask you, where is Jimmy Hoffa?
Where's Jimmy Hoffa? Uh-huh. If I get a reporter that's serious and comes to my door and asks me, I'll give him the best answer I have. I have my own theories on it, and the police can look into it. No one's ever done that. The FBI did detain me and hold me because I had junked a car the day before I had bought from a guy by the name of Whitey.
Well, I'm a serious reporter, and I'm asking your question here. If you've got it, I'd love to hear. Where is Jimmy Hoffa?
My honest belief is he's buried right where the people who murdered him buried him. And I'll go
ahead. All righty. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Hugh. Well, that was helpful. So he's exactly where he was killed. Well, that doesn't help us at all, Hugh. Thank you, though. I appreciate you might have had a story to tell, but you weren't seeming to want to share that with us. Let's take our final break of the evening. We'll come back, buzz through a couple more callers. You're listening to Coast AM. Good evening. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening. My name is Dave Schrader, filling in for George Norrie. Again, if you've enjoyed the show this evening, check out my website, darknessradio.com. Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight central, we explore supernatural, paranormal, and strange phenomena. You can check me out and then keep streaming right from our website as we launch into George Norrie and Coast to Coast AM. I'll be back with you July 5th. We'll be talking about the real case behind the movie The Conjuring, one of the most popular and well-received horror movies in the last 20 years. We'll talk to Andrea Perrin, the oldest daughter in that case, and find out what is the real story. And that'll be next Saturday night right here on Coast to Coast. Let's go back. We've got more phone calls. First-time caller, James Mansfield, Ohio. Welcome to the show, James.
Let's talk fast, Dave. Love the show. I only got like a minute left on my phone. I'm so sorry.
All right.
I attended about 700 dead shows in my life, but one particular dead show, I had done ayahuasca, and I'm sitting in my motel room meditating, and basically two beings told me where they're from, their names, which I since forgot, told us that they were observing our planet and that humans were very unique in the universe, and that me personally, I needed to read more and to write things down, which I never did. I wish I had done. And they said that humans were very unique in the universe, that were our emotions and stuff are different than a lot of other beings. And they were concerned about our planet. And I asked them why they couldn't help us out. And they said, well, they thought that if they appeared and tried to help us out, that it would actually cause more trouble than it would be worth, that we're kind of on our own. And that's about all I can really say about that experience.
Very cool, James. Thank you very much for calling in and sharing your experience with us. Let's go to the wild card, line 3, Maria in Toronto. You're on Coast to Coast AM.
Hello, Dave. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Certainly.
I've been waiting for a long time to be able to speak on the air. I wanted to, first of all, share a story, a very true story about an encounter that I had, which I believe is of alien origin. Perhaps I shouldn't call it an encounter, but just a very strange experience. In which I was walking down the street, and there was nobody in front of me and nobody behind me, and I felt rain falling on me, but I noticed that the pavement ahead of me was dry, and when I looked back, the pavement further down was also dry. So it seemed as if, as I was walking along, the rain was falling only on me. Believe it or not. And
what do you attribute that to? Do you believe that was alien encounter in a way?
I think it was because previous to this, I had done some writing about aliens, like just about certain intuitive messages that I had received about aliens. I can sometimes communicate with my guardian angel, so I was trying to pick up these messages intuitively. And I had written these things down, and then I was in the hospital for a short spell, and when I came back, the things that I had written about aliens were gone from my apartment. And also, I developed the ability to sense that some of us, some people in our midst feel different, very, very different to me than other people. And it's usually at the level of the heart. But there are some people in our midst that can actually raise my pulse rate when I'm focusing on them. And whereas other people, like the rest of the people, feel absolutely normal to me. So I think that because I discovered this and I was able to pick up that some people are very, very different, have a very different subtle quality about them, mm-hmm. and also able to, I know it's subjective, but truly I have had so many experiences which prove to me that I'm right about this, that I can really zero in on who's, like, very, very evil and who's possessed. And I think that, after these things were gone from my apartment, my writings, perhaps a certain portion, the people who are involved in these things, which I believe have an alien connection, were perhaps very angry at me that I was maybe finding out too much about this area of life. And also...
Given this gift of discernment, why do you think that they'd be so upset with you? It seems like the gift was given to you.
Well, I believe that the aliens in our midst are basically evil. This is what I'm sensing. And another thing is that I believe that every human being has a guardian angel, and I was told this many, many times by my own guardian angel. And these people who have the very strange hearts, the ones that raise my pulse rate, they don't have a guardian angel beside them. And I believe that the aliens who visit us, they do not have guardian angels beside them. I cannot pick up the sensation of a guardian angel close to them. So they don't seem to be, have that grace of being guided by a guardian angel. And also the very fact that there are so many abductions and most of them are negative, that should tell us that their intentions are not good. And I'm not saying that everybody in the universe, every alien is evil, but I believe that the good ones basically stay put.
And that's a great point, Maria. Thank you very much. Let's go to Wildcard Line 5. I want to try to get through some of the other calls. Matt in Texas, thank you for giving us a call this evening.
Bob, Dave, I could tell you stories like you wouldn't believe, talk for an hour, but I want to tell you
give
one
me your best one. Yeah, give me your best. What have you got?
This one, 1980. It was about 5 months after I got out of the Army. I was with my wife, and we were taking her nephew and niece to visit their dad in rural Kansas, up above Salina, Kansas. And it was about a 3-hour drive on the back roads, you know. And Robbie, he was in the back with his little sister, and he starts hitting me on the shoulder. He's saying, Uncle Matt, looky, looky. You know, I'm checking my mirrors and everything. I don't see anything. And then, man, he starts hitting me harder and harder, you know, and he's like, Uncle Matt, looky, looky. And I'm going, Shirley, what's he doing? She goes, he's looking out the window. I'm checking my mirrors. I don't see nothing. I said, where out the window? She says, he's looking up. So I looked up out of my driver's side, and I saw something, right? So I rolled down the window, and I look out, and I see a flying saucer flying at a 45-degree angle above my car, okay? And I told her to take the wheel. I was doing 60 miles an hour, and she took the wheel, and I literally hung outside of my car window and watched this thing for almost a whole minute, okay? It was about 60 feet in diameter, flat on the bottom. And if you can picture like a donut with a hole in the middle,
right.
We'll call the donut the outer rim, okay? The outer rim was like white acrylic, and I could see a light in it, but it wasn't shining down on me. The center of it was silver metallic, okay? This thing was not making a sound. The only sound I could hear was the sound from my 350 Nova and the wind. Okay, so, man, I punched it. I took that very next exit and jumped out, slammed the door, looked up in the sky. There was nothing there, right? Now, the thing is once we got to their dad's house, he was, you know, it was only like a 3-hour drive from Salina to the kids' dad's house. Once we got there, he says, man, where you guys been? I expected you here 3 hours ago. And, you know, I never thought about it then, but I wonder if we had some missing time right there.
Wow.
I might have had an abduction, you know, but my first encounter was I was like 4 years old. I lived on Mount Shasta, you know. And if you've ever read this book called Missing Time, This guy tells of an alien base station in Mount Shasta that was built by the U.S. government back in the 60s. Well, in 1963, I was 4 years old. I lived in Mount Shasta. And I remember an encounter where I was on an operating table, okay? And, you know, and this guy describes these markings that these abduction people have.
Right.
He describes three of them, and I have all three of them. A two-inch scar on my upper forehead on my left side, about an inch and a half scar at the base of my spine, and another one in a more private area, okay? I have all three of those markings, and, you know, I have one more. When I was still in the military, I was on guard duty in Germany during the Reforger exercise, and my buddy came out. I was standing in the snow on a hillside overlooking a small village in northern Bavaria, and, he brought me out some coffee, and we're talking and everything, and he's looking off towards my right, and I'm looking at him, and I hear this humming sound, like, om, om, om. And he goes, whoa. And I turned and I went, whoa. Because what I saw was about a football field long, about a half a football field high, all these blue and green lights on it, and these antennas sticking up. It was like right out of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And it was coming up over this hill, and I could see these windows with like these humanoid figures, these silhouettes of what could be humans walking around inside, you know.
And that is amazing. Boy, you had an experience. That is a lifetime to have had that much happen. Thank you for calling in and sharing. I want to thank Dan and Gina this evening for being my support. Tim Dennis, local engineer here, my buddy in Minnesota. Lisa Lyon, George Norrie for letting me sit in the big boy seat again this evening. I'll be back with you next Saturday, July 5th, as we'll look into The Conjuring. Also, special guest Michael C. Luckman, thank you for joining us this evening. You've been listening to Coast to Coast AM.